I know that you've been meeting with some farm groups, and so it's a good time to chat about it. I wrote a column for the farm newspapers over the weekend because I did a little research on the numbers, and they are alarming right now. And it seems to me we're sort of not paying attention to this. At least I don't hear much chatter about it. But right now, corn sells for $4.81 a bushel, but it costs $5.87 to grow. So $1 a bushel loss. Soybeans, farmers are losing $1.78 a bushel at today's prices. And some elevators are delisting soybeans. In other words, we don't want them because we can't sell them. That is a five alarm fire in agriculture, and it didn't just start. It's been going on for years. What can be done about it, Mr. Julie?
Well, I appreciate you focusing on this, Scott. I can assure you this has been front and center in my mind for the last year. I've heard loud and clear from farmers in North Dakota about some of the danger signs and the underpinnings of the ag economy, the input costs, you know, increasing at the very same time when the prices are decreasing. And that's just not sustainable long term for anybody in any business, and especially a business as risky as farming. So there's a number of things that we need to address. There's not a quick fix for any of it, but we do have some short-term and long-term. But I will say in long-term, we need to fix things like the cost of energy, that driving those costs down and maintaining an abundant, affordable supply of energy will help drive down one of the greatest input costs, which is their energy costs for farmers. And also it's baked into other input costs like fertilizers, et cetera. So that's important, and that's something that we're very much underway on. We got included in the reconciliation package, the working families tax cut plan that we passed here in July was included a bulk of the farm bill, which increased reference prices, increased crop insurance, increased export assistance to create more markets. That's really, really important. Expanding markets, as you pointed out in your letter, is one of the key things, and President Trump is working hard on that issue, and that's vitally important. And you know, reducing the regulatory burden is also a huge issue for our farmers and ranchers, and so we're working on that as well with a wide variety of different things, including Waters of the U.S., some of the emissions technology, the changes on the EV requirements, all of that, but then also growing domestic markets, which is something that I think we have a huge potential to do, and that is through the ethanol, increased ethanol, year-round E15, which is something that I've been talking to the White House, the Biofuels Caucus that I'm co-chair of. We're pushing the administration and EPA on that issue. Growing, you know, SAF, the sustainable aviation fuel industry, and the market for soybean oil and seed oils, which we're building in North Dakota, but those are the areas where we can make huge gains, I think. And so it's a multi-pronged approach. I'm really working on this. I just got off a call with an Indian ambassador. We talked a lot about exports to India and areas that they have opportunity for growth in both energy and agriculture. Last week, I met with the U.S. TR, who is negotiating on the ag side of things, all of these deals nationwide, connected her to the soybean growers in North Dakota to underscore the urgency of contracts in that those commodities. Also saw Secretary Bessent last week on Friday at a dinner at the White House and talked to him about the importance of securing these trade deals soon. There's a lot of work underway, some of it short-term, some of it long-term, but we have a lot of corrections to make. And then one final thing, I think, is the cost of debt. You know, President Trump is trying to get interest rates dropped. That is a huge cost for our farmers and ranchers. I hear that from all the farmers in my family and others across the state where, you know, the interest on their working loans and their operating loans are one of the biggest drivers of their cost increases right now. So we need to, President Trump is working hard on that, and we need to support those efforts as well.
Great overview. Appreciate that. Just thought of something related to interest rates, because you're right. That's obviously all of these years of losses are debt on top of debt on top of debt on top of debt. And we're going to get to the point where the debt is like an 80s-like crisis in agriculture. What about this idea? The Bank of North Dakota has a vast amount of resources, obviously, and availability for loans. They generally partner with local banks. You know, if there's an 8% interest rate on debt for the farmer with bank A, B, or C, how about having the Bank of North Dakota say, okay, we'll partner with those local banks and let's bring down the rate to like 5%, 4%. The Bank of North Dakota could do that. You know, and that's obviously a statewide solution, but just thought of that. What about that idea, Julie?
Actually, John Oderman, my state director, and I talked about that very idea last week, and he is going to be talking to some legislators about that idea, because I think, yeah, this is a great resource that North Dakota has, and if we can put it to use to the benefit of our farmers in a way like that, that reduces one of their biggest costs, I think that that's definitely worth exploring.
Yeah, and do it while these trade deals are kicking in. We had Senator Hovind on last week. His answer was much like you. The trade deals are coming, but they're not coming fast enough with these losses. And I get it, a lot of moving parts to it. So got to do what we can do. Mark in West Fargo has a question for Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Julie, we appreciate all you do on the petroleum front. We know you're the number one expert in the United States on it. But, you know, with commodities, there is a thing called supply and demand. If the supply goes up and the demand stays the same, then the price goes down. That's pretty much automatic. If you've got to meet an operating loan, if you've got to come up with the money for that and whatever cost of your equipment and all that, those are pretty much fixed costs. So if you can rotate your crops and grow something else, isn't that possible if the demand for soybeans is not as great as it used to be, and thus the price goes down when you have an oversupply? Isn't that true?
Well, absolutely. I think that that's something that all the producers are looking at. Right now, there does seem to be a bumper crop of soybeans in the U.S., and Brazil is producing more and more. China's encouraging them to do that. That's another area that the U.S. government is looking at, is a trade complaint. They're researching and investigating right now a trade complaint against Brazil for some of the efforts that they are putting into the soybean development area. And so, but you're right, like supply and demand rules a day. I think that
that's why we need new markets, though.
There's an awful lot of,
right? I mean, you
there's an awful lot of demand.
You're going to have seasons where you have big crops, and there have been, and obviously that's on the supply side, but more markets open that up. That's why the SAF, right. SAF things and all the, you know, the tax treatment's great. I want to squeeze in another quick, go ahead.
Sure. Just there's an awful lot of demand in the world for these products. And I think it's just getting it to the right people and breaking down the trade barriers to make that happen, I think, is my final point on that. And like you said, in the different types of products like the soybean oil, there's huge demand for that. So it's just getting the right deals in place to open up those doors.